Now then, for our first campfire tale story, here's the setup. Three college women go camping in New Mexico to relax. But it's not going to be a relaxing type of trip. Snap judgment.
The original plan for the vacation was to take a long weekend to the Manby Hot Springs, right on the bank of the Rio Grande Gorge. We decided to set up camp before it got too dark. The springs were really quite hot, and it was very pleasant. Each one of the pools had a few people already in there, and as we got in, more and more people started leaving until we were pretty much the only ones in there. There was one other person, a man who was down there with his dog. He looked like a mountaineer. He was wearing a long brownish-gray coat and some hefty boots. We were in the pool and not wearing many clothes at all, and I almost kind of got the feeling he was just waiting for us to get out. The look on his face was almost vacant, like he was asking questions but not really paying attention to the answers. The dog kept walking around and around the hot spring, but the dog was acting peculiar in the way that as it was walking around to each one of us, it would kind of rub up against us. It wouldn't be showing affection. It didn't feel like an affectionate, nuzzle. The man pulled like a bandana or handkerchief out of the inside of his coat, and with that, he rubbed the length of the dog's side, and then he put it back inside of his jacket, and he looked at us and he said, "See you later, girls." Once he was out of earshot, my friend said that dog was trained to pick up our scent. My mind was saying he's planning on coming back. We have our tent here. It's clear that we're spending the night. There's one trail out of here that leads to our car, which is now an almost empty parking lot. Like, there was nowhere we could go. Either he was going to be up there waiting for us if we left, or he was going to come back down at some point in the night, and panic was starting to set in. I was going through my bag to put on my warm clothes, and I grabbed the knife. At that moment, one of us noticed a beam from a flashlight was bouncing back down the trail, and we really just looked at each other, didn't say a word, and all three of us just started running. The Rio Grande Gorge is 90 miles, and there's no crossing of the river. There's no bridges, there's no foot crossings, there's no places where you can jump across rocks or anything. So we started climbing up the side of the bank walls. This is really dangerous terrain. My hands are just digging into cactus needles and pulling on any type of shrub or branch I can grab onto. Felt like we got up the side of that mountain with unbelievable speed. My two friends were scared and anxious, and I also was. And so I said, "It's really good that we just did that. We're here. It's okay. We just need to rest, catch our breath." Right when I was doing that, we heard the dog barking. We looked in the direction of the dog barking, and we saw the flashlight beam coming towards us. We just took off running. It was in the middle of the national forest land, and we could see some lights from the city in the very, very far distance. It looked like it was a house. Somebody said that would be the help that we could get. So we just started running to the light. Going up and down these hills, I would just sprint up to the top of the hill, and then I would just roll down to the bottom. It felt like a quicker way to get to the bottom of the hill. I just felt like rubber. Very, very limp rubber in all of my limbs. My heart was pumping. My lungs just felt like they were bleeding. And my breath, it just burnt every breath. Incredibly, incredibly exhausting. I turn around and, you know, sometimes I'd see a flashlight, sometimes I wouldn't, but I could always hear that dog barking. It just was a consistent bark that never really seemed to get any closer. And it began to feel like my heartbeat. The dog still had our scent wherever we would go. So I had my pocket knife in my breast pocket, and I just kept thinking the dog would be the first thing to get to me. All I could think is I would just take my pocket knife and I would just stab the dog in its eyeball. I was thinking to myself, if the man caught up, my option would be to do the same to him, to slit his throat. You know, in movies, when people, they're running or they're being chased or they're in these life-threatening situations, and they just stop because they're exhausted. I always thought that was ridiculous. I always thought that when you're in that situation, you will always have reserves, that there will always be something more in you to, and more in me to push me through and survive. And I remember thinking that and be like, but I was wrong. It's really, really hard to keep going. It was probably a good hill or two behind my other friends who were moving a lot quicker than I was. And my good friend and roommate, she would look back and very frantically and desperately, you know, whisper and encourage me on and say, you know, keep, you know, you can keep going, like, we just need to keep running.
Get up, get up, get up, you can do it.
I didn't think I was going to live. I pulled my friend back to have her give my goodbyes. I said, tell my parents and my brothers that I love them. She said, you can tell them yourself, it's going to be fine, we just need to keep running. You're going to be fine, we're just going to keep running. And that's when she grabbed onto my arm. And for most of the rest of the run, she was either holding my hand, holding my arm, or really close to me. We did get there, and the three of us were all just sobbing in exhaustion and fear. We were pounding on the door, and the owners came down. They asked what we needed. They got us water. We were just trying to process what had just happened. While we were doing that, the man paused and was staring out the window. He closed the curtains. He said, everyone, like, get down on the ground. He told us that when he had looked out the window, he had seen a car that had its high beams on that just was pretty erratically just driving in circles and driving, backing up, moving forward in all directions with the high beams on. There was somebody out there who was looking for something. He said, call the police, like right now, and the three of you tell me exactly what just happened out there. The next morning, one policeman picked us up and drove us to where we left the car. And then he walked down with us down the switchback trail to where our tent was. Circling the tent was a set of male boot prints. At that point in time, I didn't camp for a while. I didn't want to hike for a while. I had fear by myself. I had fear with female friends. You know, now this is ruining my relationship with the wilderness. A close friend of mine suggested that I talk with the tarot card reader to get a different perspective. I was open-minded, but with a healthy amount of skepticism. We just had our own quiet place at this park along the creek. I was really holding my cards close to my chest and really not exposing too much. And so when she, out of the blue, said New Mexico, that really was the shift. I told her a short version of the story, my experience of it. And she said, if the dog wanted to reach you, it would have. But what it did instead was warn you about the man and keep you on the go and keep you alert to what you needed to do to stay safe. And I remember first going, well, I don't know. I don't really. But then I sat with that and I thought about it, and you know, the dog at any point could have caught up with me. There's no doubt about it. There's no way that dog, you know, was slower than I was. It could have caught up with me, but it never did. It was something that I think I had subconsciously acknowledged, you know, like I just never, it was the one piece I could never understand. Why did the dog never catch up?
Special thanks to Bree O'Kane for sharing her amazing story with Snap. Sound design by Leon Morimoto, and that piece was produced by Liz Mack.